fleeting glimpses of things seen through a veil, darkly. Do we understand the meaning of these visions of life? Why we are here and how little of our existence we truly understand? Tonight we will talk of these things on The Other Side. Welcome to the program. I think we're going to have a fun show today. Our guest is Elisa Einhorn. She is an astrologer, a tarot reader, but she is also a medium. And I love to speak with mediums to find out what they experience, how they use that in their life, how they help other people with it. It's always a topic of constant fascination. And Elisa is also an author. We talked to her about her recent book, The Little Book of Saturn, a while back. And she's very accomplished in her field, very active on Facebook in particular, giving readings, and she gives personal readings and so forth. So I love to kind of mine the wisdom of people that are in the field and find out all about it. And today we're going to talk about mediumship. Elisa, welcome to the program today.
Hi. Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me back.
Oh, thank you for being here. Well, first of all, I want to ask you, it's kind of like I consider you, you know, if you think of baseball, they're switch hitters, you know, or they call them, what is it? Five tool players. They can field, they can bat, they can always do these, or I don't know if it's five tool or four tool or three, whatever it is.
Who's your team?
The Cleveland Indians.
Okay.
Pretty good team. But
had to ask.
It's only been 1948 since they won, though. So I'm hoping once before I die. Maybe, but we'll see what happens.
Aww, this year. I'll pray for that.
But I know you're a New York person, so you got to be rooting for the Yankees. I wouldn't blame you if you do.
Mets.
Oh, Mets. Oh, okay. Okay.
You know, can I tell one quick baseball thing before we get started about the reason why we're here?
Absolutely. Please do.
Okay. Someone's school. I mean, I don't live in New York anymore. Maybe I'll be back again someday, but when I lived there, I used to go to games by myself because I had no friends who were into baseball except for one, although I don't think we ever went together anyway. But he taught me something very important. He said about baseball and teams, he said, you're loyal to the team, because I was getting crushes on different players. You know, like I would think, oh, that one's cute. Oh, Mike Piazza, he's cute. This is when he was a Met,
right?
Way back when.
Yeah.
And changed my life, loyal to the team. Now, you probably know that, but it was news
to me.
Oh, yeah,
I think these days you have to be, because they change. Jerry Seinfeld.
Right, they change.
Yeah, Jerry Seinfeld had the best quote about all of it. He says, essentially, if you boil it down, you're rooting for laundry.
Exactly, exactly. Because I would get heartbroken when someone would get traded, or I don't even... Yeah.
Yeah, you can't get attached. You can't get attached with pro sports. Well, The thing that I think is interesting, going back to that baseball metaphor, is that you do multiple things. Some people are astrologers, and that's what they focus on. Some people are tarot readers, and that's what they focus on. Others are mediums, and that's what they focus on. But you, you do all of those, and I'm probably missing some things. How do they work together, in your view?
Well, you know, I've always had trouble with marketing, okay? Like, how do I present myself? What am I? Who am I? I'm an astrologer, so I'll put that forward. But I've recently figured out all my readings are psychic readings. I just never thought of them that way. And that I had, you know, a different tool, or really all these tools together at the same time in a reading. And astrology was the first one that I learned, and that was the door, because from there I went to tarot and then eventually used them both together in the same reading. And then I'm glad that you're totally obsessed with, it sounds like, mediumship the way I am, because that was not intentional. You know, I studied astrology intentionally and started to learn tarot.
Well, I would think, for example, I kind of make the joke that I'm sensitive as a board. Now, I do think if I applied myself, I could learn to be an astrologer. I think I applied myself, I could learn to be a tarot reader. But to me, the thing of mediumship, now I'm sure it's like any other gift, you can enhance it and learn and become better and hone your craft. But that, to me, almost has to be inborn. Do you think I'm on the right track, or do you think I'm missing something?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I lost my parents pretty young. They both died young separately.
Aww.
And that's, you know, that's going to change a person. It definitely changed me. I think even before that, I felt, I don't know how to put it. Well, definitely extra sensitive. But that was really the beginning of the end. That was the, I don't know. I'm losing my train of thought. I think that made a difference in that death became very, very close and was not in some crazy unimaginable thing.
When did you realize that you had the gift of mediumship?
It happened spontaneously, you know, and I was trying to remember, I was trying to pinpoint. I mean, I've been doing astrology and tarot readings for so long, you know, working with clients
right
for so long. And I was trying to think, when was the first time that someone might have said, oh, can you send, is there a message from so-and-so? And I couldn't remember the exact moment, but I remember in 2014, actually, and I probably shouldn't give details even without names to protect anonymity, although I really want to. But there were some suicides in the lives of my clients.
Oh my.
And I would just get, like, someone would ask, or to even not even ask, but even just talk about it. You know, how is my sister doing? Or, oh, I miss my sister so much, or I don't even know what happened. People could just be talking about it even without asking questions. And I would get images or thoughts. I think I'm more clairaudient than any of the other clairs, which is actually getting thoughts. People sometimes think that it's voices. It's not voices, it's thoughts that just show up in my head.
Okay.
Very, very fast. And I would get those thoughts and then I would just, you know, blurt them out. And when you're on the phone with someone, they can tell you right away, you know, they can verify it. Oh yeah, that's him. Oh yeah, that's her. That sounds like them. So I think it came out of the blue. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know if it's different than any other psychic reading, meaning that, you know, anyone who wants to do it can learn how. I think a lot of people don't want to. I think a lot of people don't want to. People get freaked out. Oh, I do know people, other colleagues, professional psychics who don't want to do mediumship, because they get bothered, you know, they get scared, or they might actually get bothered by, you know, visitations and some such. But I've got pretty good boundaries. I don't get people showing up, you know, knocking on the door, wanting to chat outside of client time.
Now, is this sometimes something that can be a burden?
No. The only burden is that we were talking before about being a self-employed person and making a living in this world. But no, I don't. You mean being able to dial in to that?
Yeah. Sometimes do you get things that, in other words, are you able to turn it on and off, is what I'm asking?
Oh yeah, 100%. Although, and this figures into the astrology, sometimes, you know, something's happening in the sky and it's going to affect you personally and it can make you a bit more open. I did have this very particular time last year where I was on Facebook, of course, you know, scrolling, and I saw this, you know, Facebook friend who recently had lost her dog. And all I did was look at the picture of her and her dog who had just passed. And I started to get, you know, thoughts, visions, and that happened a few times during that time period. So I think I must have been having some sort of transit that made me a little more porous. But otherwise, yeah, it doesn't, I'm not infiltrated by it.
One thing to me that would seem maybe a challenge is if you have this gift, but knowing when it's really a communication from the beyond, a spirit, those mm-hmm. kind of things, and maybe your own thoughts, how do you separate that out and how do you know one from the other?
You know, I don't know if that's any different than any other kind of psychic reading or any other kind of channeling. And you have to trust yourself and go with it. And if you are doing a live reading, that, you know, someone's there to say, oh yeah, that makes sense. Or, well, no, that doesn't sound like him. Well, in such instances, you may be tuning into someone else. But that was something that I struggled with early on with any reading that I did. You know, how do I know this isn't me making it up? And I think that's very common. That's very common with shamanic practitioners too. You know, when they go on a journey and they run into their spirit animal, oh, am I making it up? I mean, that's just part of the process when you feel like a fraud. But seriously, if you do this long enough and you practice and you're talking to people, and it's just trust, I think. But no, I mean, I probably, you know, in a court of law, I probably couldn't prove to you, yes, that really was your grandmother. But yet I've given you all these details.
Well, that's
her.
The thing. If they validate the details, you must be picking up on something, because you would have no way of knowing that information.
Oh yeah. And again, that's true. That's true for so many psychic readings. You have no way to know, absolutely no way to know any of it.
Now,
And I think we also, because it also comes so fast,
right?
The information it's just like having something thrown at you. It's not that I look for that feeling, but I recognize it. And then there's a split second before you talk, and you just have to talk. You know, you can't go in, you can't start to question yourself.
Now, I'll give you an example of something that happened to me. I was thinking about my mom died in 2013, and I was thinking about something, and I remember I was driving in my car to go see my dad, who is thankfully still with us. He's elderly. But I was driving over to see him. I was thinking about something, and I didn't hear just what you said. It's more of a thought. You didn't audibly hear the voice, but I had a thought come to me with my mom had a very distinct way of speaking. And the thought came in the phrasing and using language she would have used. And part of me said that was a message from my mom, and part of me said, well, you know her speech patterns, you know how she talks, so you know this is one possible thing she might say, so it's just all in your head. And I think that's very tough for people when they're dealing with that sort of thing. Am I imagining things, or am I really getting communication from a loved one?
I think we know the difference. You know, it's interesting that we err on the side of doubt. That our first assumption is, oh, it can't be real. This can't really be happening. Versus, oh, I believe it, and then sort of disproving it later, you know? I just think that's interesting that at first we don't believe.
Makes sense. Now, here's another thing, and I'm sure you've heard this, and I always like to be very clear when I talk to psychics, I talk to mediums, I'm not saying it to challenge what they say they can do, but it's more
challenge me.
But it's more just your thoughts on it, because I know these are questions that come up. And there's one thought that, yes, mediums are really picking up on something, but they're picking up on the thoughts of the person they're reading. So let's say that somebody comes to Elisa and says, I would like to talk with Uncle Fred. And you're getting all these great details about Uncle Fred. His favorite color was blue. He drove a Chevrolet. He was cranky but lovable, or whatever. And you're bringing back all these details. And as far as you're concerned, you're picking up on Uncle Fred, but you may actually be reading the mind, unbeknownst to you, of the person you're reading.
Or just the psychic information that's out there.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's helpful to ask for a message then, because that's true that details are details, and you could bring back details from when they were alive. You know, because I mean, I also think we can channel the living as much as we can, you know, channel the dead and bring forth a message.
I had a funny comment from Thomas John. He's a psychic in the New York area, and I believe he had a TV show recently, and I don't know the status of it, where he was like an Uber driver, but he read people, which I thought was an interesting concept. I can't remember the name of it. And when I interviewed him, it was before he ever had the TV show. But I asked him, I believe that there are legitimate psychics out there. And I also believe that there are some people who were trying to make a fast buck. And how do you as a psychic answer that skepticism? And he said, well, he said, you're absolutely right, but I'm sure that there are radio show hosts that are charlatans too.
Sure,
and I said,
sure.
Yeah, it's all, you know, any walk of life, they're bad auto mechanics. They're good auto mechanics. I actually have one,
yeah,
and I'm gonna hang on to him because you don't get many of those. Sorry, auto mechanics, but it's very hard to find a good mechanic. But go ahead.
I was gonna say I'm still trying to think of the answer to that question because I don't think I have an answer for it. You know, how can you be 100% sure that I'm bringing back to you a message? You know,
well, I think it comes down to validation. I think it comes down to validation. We had a psychic on the show, and I had my wife call into the program, but not say she was my wife. And she's also not active on social media. She dislikes Facebook intensely and so forth. So anyhow, what was interesting about this was I had callers come on, and the psychic would do a reading. And my wife was really hoping to get a message from her mom, but her mom didn't come through. But the psychic said something to the effect, well, there's a younger person died, kind of one of your peers died very suddenly. The name is Bob, and he wanted you to know he says hello. Well, this psychic had no way of knowing that my wife's best friend in high school was named Bob, and he killed himself.
Mm.
I mean, to me, game over. There's something going on. So to me, the proof is kind of in the pudding.
Mm-hmm. And I can tell you too that it feels different when you're deep into mediumship. It feels different than when you're doing a different kind of psychic work. At least for me.
Is it hard for the spirits over there to communicate with us, or do you think that it's just being a willing receiver?
You know, I think it really depends. I don't think they go around wanting to, you know, I don't think they go around necessarily, oh, if only, you know, so-and-so would reach out to me, I'd have all this stuff to say. I think it depends on us. And that if we open it up, then they're willing. It's almost like, sure, I'll do that. You know, sure. I'll talk to that, you know, human, that person in body still. And then we get deeper and deeper in, and it can get more personal and more intense. But you know what? I think it's neutral. And I'm not talking about ghosts, you know. I'm talking about sort of, you know, easygoing people that are dead.
Right.
They're not looking to haunt anyone. They're just chilling. You know, it's neutral. It's a neutral vibe. Once you contact them, then you get a sense of the message.
Where do you think they are when they contact us? Are they in a heaven? Are they just kind of floating around in the ether? Where do you think that these messages come from? Where is home base for the dead?
You know, there's a lot of opinions about that.
I've heard that.
There's a lot of opinions. You know, one thing that resonates for me is that people are according to what their belief system was. I mean, I think of it as a place. And I like that metaphor of the veil, you know, when it gets close to Halloween.
Right.
Or Samhain, and people are talking about the veil. It actually is that. That's a good metaphor. That there's, you know, whether you call it a veil or a wall, there is some sort of separation or partition. But exactly what that is, you know, is it the way Sylvia Brown thought it was? I'm not totally sure. I think she's got books about that. But I think of it as time. It's time and space, because there's past lives and future lives. It's a giant waiting room, Jim. It's a bus station. It's Penn Station New York City.
I think I saw in your bio that you love Penn Station. So.
Oh, yeah. You know, I forget where I put that. But yeah, I'm always redoing my About Me pages I can never get it right. So that's the most important thing, is that I love Penn Station.
Now, what kind of messages do the dead come across with? What are the most common things that you hear? And obviously, you know, no names, please.
No names. You know what's frustrating about that is that sometimes clients want something very mushy. You know, they want, oh, I love you and I miss you and da 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 da. But there is at least 50% of the time that the message is advice. And it's like, you know, be careful of your brother, or stay close to these people in your family, because, you know, you need to keep the family together. Like this sort of very, like, I think they find it boring sometimes. You know, there's a certain type of person that wants the drama, right? The drama of mediumship, like a big revelation, right? An emotional thing. And sometimes it is that, you know, sometimes, especially if it's a more recent death or a dramatic death, you know, a long illness or a suicide. And let me tell you, sometimes there are folks who really are hanging around the living, like they are there on the premises, and you can feel that too. And they'll also tell you stories, but you know, it can vary. It can be like totally quotidian, boring, you know, don't forget to pick the kids up from school. Or it can be, you know, very heavy duty. This reading that I did the other day, which was not, most of it was not mediumship. And then just like towards the end, and this also involved a suicide. And there was a message so intense from that person, you know, from the one who had passed to the one who had contacted me. I mean, again, back to the topic of doubt, you know, I had no doubt in my mind that this was a direct message from that person to this woman. And she got it, you know, she was like, oh yeah, that makes total sense. You know, clients aren't shy, that, you know, they're going to tell you if like, oh, well, that doesn't really resonate for me.
Well, the thing is that really boring. if you're there to get answers, how could you be shy? It can't be, I don't think it could be effective if you're not being open to some extent.
Yeah.
Or less effective, let's say that. Now, when you talked about, do you believe in trapped souls? We always hear that, you know, let's bring the person to the light and those kind of things.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Please expound.
I'm not a ghost hunter. I'm not really a ghost person, you know, like my involvement in this work is peaceful. It's not anyone. I don't think I've ever experienced that with a client, that I was trying to get a message from someone who is trapped. But I have experienced it in real life, what I consider to be a trapped soul. I mean, do you find that's a synonym for ghost? Is that what you think feel a ghost is a trapped soul?
Well, I think sometimes. I think that not all ghosts are necessarily trapped souls, but some percentage. And I don't really have an opinion on this.
And animals too. Animals can be trapped. You know how they can get trapped by our love. If a person is, you know, desperately grieving enough, that can make someone get stuck.
What I've always heard people say, and again, this is opinion because I don't think anybody 100% knows all of the answers. I've heard many people say they're trapped souls, people who have died suddenly, weren't expecting it. They're confused. They don't know that they're really dead, which I find kind of hard to, I don't understand how that would work, because I think pretty quickly when people wouldn't answer you back, it's like that. Now, I don't want to say it because, well, the film's 25 years old, The Sixth Sense. You know, you don't know that you're, see it, but you don't know you're dead. How could you not know you're dead? Everybody's ignoring you. And then, although I just spoiled it for you, I'm sorry.
You know, I mean, you know, one time I've had one reading with a medium and she had said that to me, about someone who had died in my life, was like the person didn't know they were dead, or it was a shock, or,
And then other people are, I've heard, now again, this is not necessarily my opinion, but I heard other people are afraid of judgment. So they're afraid to let go lest they be judged and sent to something like hell.
That seems completely plausible to me. I mean, I do believe it's true. People are animals. They can get stuck. I had a beloved cat. I don't know if you're a cat person. I'm a cat person. My beloved cat who passed it was December 2016. And I think she did get trapped, either because of me or because of her. And I usually don't have vivid dreams or remember my dreams at all. And I had a dream, which was a signal. And I woke up from that dream and I remember it. And I thought, oh my God, that's Cleo. She's leaving. You know, she's been hanging with me for a year and a half because I didn't want her to not be here. And it was violent, actually, when a trapped soul finally untraps itself and, you know, it finishes dying. I think it's not pleasant for us to perceive. I don't think it's necessarily painful for them, but.
Wow.
It's a thing.
Now, when people come to you, or let me put it to you this way. When people come to you for a reading, especially when you're talking about loved ones or crossed over, what are some of the common things that they're typically looking for? And then I have a follow-up to that.
They want to know if they're okay, which I don't understand because I feel like life is hell. You know, life is hard. Life is difficult. And where we go next is, well, I don't know. I haven't been there yet, you know, in this lifetime, but they really want to make sure that person is okay. At least that's what they say to me. You know, how are they? Are they all right?
What should they be asking you? What should they want to
do? It surprises me. It surprises me that they don't see it or feel it as an end to suffering. I mean, there's no taxes, you know, you don't have to clean the house. It sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
I'm willing to wait to find out.
Yeah, I don't think there's a should on what they should ask, but that always surprises me. Is Uncle Fred okay?
But I think it's because of the unknown. I mean, when it comes down to brass tacks, do any of us really know? We have opinions. We may have even some evidence, even if it's anecdotal, for that opinion, things that we've experienced. Right. But we don't know with 100% metaphysical certitude, do we?
It can feel sort of like a contradiction, but it's like, I can't prove it, but I know. And I'm the kind of person who's not going to say I know unless I know. So like if I tell someone Uncle Fred is, you know, totally fine. Yeah, he misses you. He's sending you a message of love. No matter what they give me to give them, there's always this, there's still a neutral quality about it. The way we have emotions here, they don't have it like that over there. Wherever, behind the veil, behind the wall, behind the partition, whatever it is, you know, in Penn Station. They're not wrapped up in the feels. Even if there's, you know, giving a message that to us feels, you know, makes our heart cry or makes our heart happy. I find that it's neutral, more neutral. Does that make sense?
No, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. Now, what kind of things do you think they want us to know?
You know, that makes me think it's case by case. It's each individual, but you know what? Some of them just really want to reassure the people that they left behind that everything is okay. So I guess it's working both ways, essentially. You know, the person here is, are they okay? And then the person who's over there is, all right, I got to reassure them that I'm okay.
Do you know? Go ahead.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Something interesting that I've noticed is there are certain souls who have particular jobs. Oh, I've noticed this with animals too. Jobs, tasks, and they're like hanging around waiting for their next assignment. Which possibly, I mean, I'm I assume sometimes that that's the next life. But that metaphor of the waiting room is like, okay, I'm hanging out. I'm hanging out. Maybe I'm around the person. Maybe I'm not, but I'm waiting for I'm doing this job here while waiting for the next one.
Now, here's one for you. Do you ever get very specific direction? Something like the key to the safe deposit box is on the drawer, third drawer from the right. Do you ever get things like that specific?
You know, that hasn't happened yet, but no one's ever asked. Maybe if someone asks, I'm trying to think if there's been any lost and founds. No, not yet. But now that you've said it, maybe people are going to ask me where they left their keys.
Well, the one thing that I can tell you that's very, very distressing. We had a loss in our family several months ago, and the person was found. This is my father-in-law. I guess I can tell this. And he was found deceased, and it was unexpected. He was elderly and had some health problems, but kind of that question hangs over us. What happened? You know, what was the sequence of events? You feel horrible about it, and you just wonder, you hope the person didn't suffer. And that's something that I think, and again, the end result is the same, but you just want to know that person didn't suffer for any prolonged period of time.
He didn't suffer. You know what happens is people leave their bodies sooner,
mm-hmm.
and they're already, they can choose whether to watch it or not. You know, they might get distracted and go look at something else, but they're gone. Even while, you know, the body might still be, the heart is beating.
Right. It's very reassuring because that is the thing you want to know. The person has passed, but you just want to know that it was hopefully peaceful and there wasn't a lot of pain or anything like that involved. And
yeah, I think it's, and the more details we know, the harder it is for us to conceptualize that they would be okay. But there can even be, I don't know if I have the time right, easily up to 12 hours. The body is alive. The person may even be, you know, the person or the animal may even be what appear to us as functioning, but they're gone. You know, 12 hours before death is what I mean.
Right.
Interesting. And it could even be a violent death, but they're gone.
No, this wasn't violent or anything.
Yeah, so they're not experiencing their end the way we think they should, you know, with our earth eyes.
So the question is, how do people get in touch with you? And what can they expect if they say, Lisa, I would like a reading, and what can they expect, and how can they make that connection?
Well, I am super easy to find. So I lived in New York for so long that a lot of my handles on social media still have NYC at the end. But if you look at my website, which is Moon Pluto Astrology or Moon Pluto NYC. On Twitter or Instagram, Facebook, you will find me. But Moon Pluto Astrology is my site that has the information. If someone wanted to get in touch to book a reading, and moonpluto@gmail.com is my email. I'm everywhere, Jim.
There you are. You're everywhere. Oh, and you're here too.
My tiny little YouTube is under Moon Pluto Astrology also.
Well, it's been a great conversation. I love it because it really was a conversation and kind of picking the brain of someone who has this ability and just to see what it's like, how they feel about it, what they see and hear.
It's hard to put some of it into words, you know?
Sure.
You know, because, I mean, I'm not just a Cancer. I'm a triple Cancer, Sun, Mercury, Mars. And everything is so intuitive and I feel it. So, you know, whenever I talk to you or I talk to other people about the process, I always wish I could just like hook you up, you know, to my brain with some little electric, and then it would make sense. So hopefully it made sense.
It did indeed. Elisa Einhorn, thank you for joining us today on the program.
Thank you too.
Very interesting program. I always love to kind of pick the brain of people who have these psychic and mediumistic gifts, because again, as I said earlier, I do not. So I'm always very curious about what it's like. I hope that you enjoyed the show. We'll talk to you next time. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.